Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand. Your desire this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain down. Our comforter, our friend. Oh, how we need your touch again. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain. Sing it this morning. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does
Yes, he is. to be in church this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have several announcements here concerning our Labor Day meetings. Brother Jack Duff will be ministering here for our Labor Day meetings. This will include our August Youth Bible Study. That will be this Thursday evening, August the 29th, this coming Thursday. A special service Friday evening, August the 30th, as well as both of our services on Sunday, September the 1st. A special singing service will be held here at the church on Saturday, August the 31st, and that's starting at 7:30 p.m. On Saturday, we will have a pitch-in meal, and that will be at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church gym on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 31st of August. We will have the gym from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. The food will be served at noon. The church will be providing tea, lemonade, and water, along with smoked bone-in chicken, not fried. If you're coming, you can bring a side of your choice and or a dessert. Sister Christy has sent out a link with an electronic sign-up sheet so that people can see what others are bringing. If you cannot access the link or have any questions, please see Sister Christy Heron-Bassick or Sister Jennifer Soderquist. As our last pitch-in went, the church has also provided the disposable pans and lids, which are available in the church basement. They'll be there after the service today. Please pick those up for your side and or dessert. This will make cleanup much easier, which will help with preparation for the Saturday night song service. We will have the normal indoor activities, basketball, as well as outdoor activities, cornhole, volleyball, etc. We ask that no skates, scooters, or bikes be used in the gym. You can bring those things for outside, but we just want to keep the inside floor clear of those. Thank you. God bless you. That's from the trustees. Lord willing, this morning, at the end of the service, we'll ask the young people ages 13 and under to meet here in the sanctuary to practice a song. And then this evening after service, the ages 14 and older will meet here in the sanctuary to practice a song. So looking forward to our special meetings. Amen? Amen. Amen. As we go to prayer, please remember Sister Patty Ard. She's having surgery on Wednesday. It's good to see her here this morning. We'll definitely be in prayer for that sister. And pray for the surgeon that the Lord guides his hands. Amen. It's a very, very important prayer there. Also, please pray for Brother Jimmy's family. His aunt passed away Saturday morning. Sorry to hear that, brother. God bless you. Please pray for my cousin, Danny Llewellyn. He is having a heart operation this week. That's from Sister Debbie Pierce. And please pray for my grandmother, Heaven Lee. She is having physical problems and she needs salvation also. That's from Colleen Dabney. And also want to remember Sister Sherry Eplin in prayer. She sprained her ankle. Sister Patty Hansel requested prayer for Jim Beckham. That's her daughter Morgan's grandpa. He has a progressive dementia. Please keep Sister Della Riley in prayer. She has been diagnosed with liver cancer, has been given 3 months to live. So definitely want to remember those. Sister Sharon Toth, that's Brother Joshua Leek's mother, asked that we pray that they would know the Lord's will concerning her and her husband moving to Jeffersonville. Also, please pray for her sister Mary concerning a serious legal situation. And Sister Sharon would like to thank the saints for making her feel welcome while she was visiting her family here, and also that she received her healing every time she came to be prayed for. That's a wonderful, wonderful testimony of God's grace. If you have a need you'd like to make known before the Lord with an uplifted hand, He sees your need. Amen. God bless you. Brother Layton, would you come and take us to the Lord in prayer?
Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Father, as we approach you, Lord, many requests have been spoken, and Lord Jesus, you know every one of them. Lord, the ones with cancers and with operations and memory problems and other things that have gone on, Lord Jesus, those with legal problems and those desiring to move and so many things, Lord, those that are grieving over the passing of a loved one. Father, we ask that you would come on the scene for each one of these requests as only you can do. Give comfort to those at the passing of the loved one. Build the faith of those that are facing operations and other matters, Lord Jesus. May you come on the scene for each request. May you just deliver the people from them. The old enemy is a roaring lion. Father, he's trying to destroy your people, not only mentally, physically, but also spiritually. We ask you to keep up that shield against him, Lord Jesus, which we know is your word. And Father, we believe your word and ask you to increase our faith. Oh, Father, increase our love that we may have, as I've heard your prophet speak. He wanted perfect love and perfect faith. Lord Jesus, grant that to each and every one is here this morning. May you save the lost, fill with the Holy Ghost those that have need of it, heal the sick, deliver the oppressed and the depressed. The Father's to be with us in the furtherance of the service. May thy Holy Spirit come in and bless your people. May you anoint the pastor and anoint thy word. May we not be just hearers, but doers. Father, we invite your presence again. We love you and appreciate you. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now this morning, we're getting back to the psalm. We're going to be doing the 69th. We're going to finish it up, the Lord willing. We'll start with the 25th verse and read down through the last verse. 69th psalm, starting with the 25th verse. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his wonderful name. And there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. And I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. And there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name. Glory to his wonderful. That saves from sin. Oh, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Oh, glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name. Oh, glory to his wonderful name. And there to my so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Oh, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. You've come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Oh, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name. Oh, glory to his wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to his name. And it was down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. And there to my heart was the blood applied.
That chorus one more time. If Sister Stephanie Duval, Brother Daryl, Layton, Sister Anthony, and sorry. Woo. Let me start over. We're going to sing that chorus one more time, and it's Brother Daryl Layton, Sister Tina Bryant, Brother Anthony Bryant, and Sister Stephanie Duval prepare for their special. Boo, devil.
Amen. I'm singing glory to his name.
We need our spirit-filled preachers to teach us right from wrong. We need our old-fashioned seekers who will pray all night long. We need some good gospel singing to help us go another mile. And the church will triumph, oh Lord, we'll go home in a little while. It'll be worth it after all,
child, it'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call.
It'll be worth it after all,
child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of this time, it'll be worth it after all.
When you're down in that valley, your prayer's all. And the Lord sends deliverance that strengthens you. But when you're up on that mountain, you see me struggling along. Lift my name up to Jesus, help to make it home. After all,
child, it'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call.
It'll be worth it after all,
child, it'll be worth it after all. After all of this climbing, it'll be worth it after all.
When you're walking through heaven, upon the streets of pure gold, hand in hand there with Jesus. sight to behold. And all the angels are singing, oh, a beautiful song. As we're gathered with Jesus around the great white throne, and it'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of this climbing, it'll be worth it after all. And after all of this climbing, it'll be worth it after all.
This once here at the church, but felt led to try it this morning, so you help me out.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Amazing grace, the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and buckler be, as long as my God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Unending love, oh, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve. The sun forbear to shine, but God who calls me here below will be forever mine. My chains are gone, oh, I've been set free. My God, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. Oh, He will shield and portion. but stand as long as life endures. My chains are gone, oh, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy,
unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, He's ransomed me.
Aren't you thankful for His mercy and His love to us, that He would come and His amazing grace would come and set us free from our chains? Amen. What a blessed people we are, if you can say that this morning. My chains are gone. Amen. To have once been bound by sin and trespasses and all kinds of wicked things, but then to be able to say, I'm free. Amen. You couldn't do that. You couldn't free yourself, but whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And a couple of Sundays ago, we had looked at this verse for our Sunday morning and Sunday evening service. And we want to look at it again this morning in this thought of the congregation that we've been looking at. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for an opportunity to come together to worship You, Lord, in spirit and truth. Lord, I thank You for each one that's gathered out this morning, Lord. We just ask that You'd be with us and help us. Lord, may when we leave here this morning, may we go out closer to You than we were when we came in, Lord. And I ask that You'd be with each one. Bless those, Lord, the home folks that, Lord, are here this morning and the visitors as well. Lord, may You come and do something for us that would have an impact on us, Lord, that it would make us come into a closer relationship with You, that it'd give us a greater desire to serve You. Lord, help me to get myself out of the way for a little while so that You could speak something that would be a benefit to Your people that are gathered here this morning. Lord, we feel Your presence here moving in our midst. And Lord, we know the enemy's tried to fight many different ways, but yet, Lord, we know that You prevail every time. When the enemy comes in like a flood, You raise up a standard against him. And so we thank You, Lord, for the victory, Lord. And help us as we look at that victory for a while this morning. May it produce victory in the lives of these that will hear. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. How many's got the victory this morning?
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Maybe the rest of you will have it by the time you go out. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20 that we just looked at here, Brother Branham tells us, he said that when they'd come across and they had seen their taskmasters drowned in the Red Sea, that they got the victory. So now, if this wasn't a Pentecostal meeting, he'd never seen one, because he said they began to get excited. They begin to dance. They begin to play the timbrel. And he said, Moses began to sing in the Spirit, and Miriam began to dance in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God was moving. Now, when the Spirit begins to move, something is going to happen. You can move with it or you can fight against it, but when God begins to move, then miracles begin to take place and God begins to do things in people's lives. The problem is, if we're not careful, sometimes when God goes to do the supernatural, we in our flesh are natural. So when God does something supernatural, sometimes our flesh doesn't want to go along with what God is doing in the supernatural because it's uncomfortable for us. It gets us out of our comfort zone a little bit. But I want to be flexible to whatever God would have us to do or say or whatever actions he would have us to take. I want to be able to be flexible enough that if God would lead me to do something, as I've said before, I don't think that God would lead me to do it. But if he led me to lay out here on the floor and roll all the way down to the back door, I would do it if I really thought that it was him leading me to do it. I want to be so flexible that whatever he would lead me to do, Brother Jimmy, that I would do that for him. Because not so that I can say, look at me, but if he wanted me to do something, if he wants me to push a wheelbarrow, I'll push a wheelbarrow. If he wants me to go testify or witness to somebody, whatever God would want me to do, I want to be flexible enough that he would do that through me and that I would allow him to do that through me. Brother Branham tells us in the sermon Pardon in 1963, he said, I get among Christians sometimes who claim to be sainted men, women of God. They're ashamed of a testimony. They're ashamed to say amen. I hope this morning you're not ashamed to say amen, or if not, we're going to be in trouble. But I hope you're not ashamed to say amen this morning. He said, they're ashamed to sing the songs of Zion. They're ashamed everywhere. He said, I like to get amongst people who is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though it seems like heresy, but yet they're not ashamed. Something has happened, and it means more than life to them. It is life. It's life eternal because they have accepted God's substitute. Now, God had a substitute that he provided for us. All of our sins, your sins and my sins, and every person's sins down through history, we weren't worthy enough to make a sacrifice on our own. Back in the days of Moses and Job and Abraham and the different ones of the Old Testament, they had a sacrifice that was the blood of bulls and goats, but that sacrifice was not sufficient. There's the word I'm looking for. It was not sufficient enough to bring them into the presence of God. It would only be a temporary band-aid to get them through the time for the next sacrifice. But God had a substitute. You weren't worthy to die for your own sins. You deserve to die for your own sins, but dying for your own sins would still not have rid and given you the restoration because you weren't worthy to die for your own sins. John looked through all of heaven. John looked through all of earth. He looked through the seas everywhere. He couldn't find one that was worthy to die for humanity. But then the angel told him, he said, John, don't worry. Don't weep. Don't cry. Don't get upset. God's got this under control. He said, there's a lamb that's going to take away the sins of the world. And he pointed him to Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to point you to this morning, that you can accept God's substitute. The problem is we try to make our own substitutes. God has a provided way for everything. Brother Branham teaches us. God has a provided way for your salvation. He has a provided way for your healing. He has a provided way for whatever that you're facing this morning, if you'll just come under subjection and obedience. But you know, that's hard for us as human beings many times, to come under subjection to anything. It's against our nature. We don't like that, our human nature. But I want to encourage you to die out to that human nature and accept the nature of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit into your life, so that you can yield yourself to him and accept his substitute. Adam wanted to have his own substitute. He wanted to have a fig leaf apron, and he had an idea of trying to make his own religion, but it wasn't worthy. It would never work. His substitute, any of our substitutes that we try to place, you try to make a substitute for going to church, it'll never work. You try to make a substitute for Sunday school, it'll never work. You try to make a substitute for salvation or healing or the baptism of the Holy Ghost and try to have some intercessor between you and Christ Jesus, it'll never work. But God has a provided way, and God already has a substitute for you that he's provided, if we can accept that. Oh, I'm not ashamed of it this morning. Something has happened to me. He said, something has happened and it means more than life to them. He said, I like this kind of singing. When I was back there praying for some of the people a few moments ago that had been brought in, and this not being a prayer service just to speak, I was in there and I could hear the songs, the clapping of their hands, and we wonder, and some of them, even I seen them run up and down the floor, what they call dancing in the spirit. He said, that first time I was a critic of that, when I seen the Pentecostal people dancing in the spirit, and I thought, what is this? It must be a bunch of nonsense. Then I got to reading the Bible. That's a good place to start. Amen. If you're confused about something this morning, if you're not sure about something, if you've been a little critical of something and you're not sure what to think of it, why don't you start where he did? He said, I got to reading the Bible. And the picture began to change when he began to read the Bible. Oh my, I still believe in reading the Bible. We was looking at it Wednesday night, the simplicity of some of the things that the prophet of God brought us, and they asked him in questions and answers there, what can we do to have a closer relationship with God? And he didn't tell them some supernatural, super-duper 10-step program. He said, read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Amen. So if we want a closer relationship with God, there's a way that's been provided if we'll just accept it. He said, so then I got to reading the Bible and I found out that when dancing in the spirit, he said, the devil copied it and put them out here with rock and roll stuff, but the real genuine dance comes from God. That's exactly. And always a dance was victory. When David slew Goliath and this little ruddy looking boy come dragging the head of this giant into the city, the people met him dancing. They had the victory. If you notice and you go back and read, David even, he began to run and to dance into the battle and he began to go in there. Why? He already knew that he was going to have the victory. He already knew he was going to have the victory. He wasn't scared. All the rest of them was scared of the giant. But he had a prophecy that was over him that he was going to be king. And he knew that Samuel was a vindicated prophet. And there was nothing that could happen to him until that prophecy came to pass. All I want to say this morning, if you'll apply the scriptures to your life and recognize that you're the bride of Jesus Christ, there's things that's been said about you that many times we leave laying dormant. We think, well, maybe it's for somebody else. No, don't leave it for somebody else this morning. I want to claim it for me. I want it to be something personal to me this morning. They always, he said, a dance was a victory. Oh, you know, there's something about Christian people. Many times if you're not careful, you let the devil beat you up so much that you walk around with a sad look on your face and a frown, and you look like you just got through eating sauerkraut or something. Your face is all turned upside down, and you're all upset. Why? Because you're focused on the circumstances. You're focused on your problems. You're focused on poor, pitiful me and trying to figure out a way to make it better for yourself. Stop focusing on the circumstance. Stop focusing on the symptoms and focus on the promise that God has given you. You say, Brother Nathan, you don't know the shoes that I walk in. You don't know the battles that I face. If you said that, you might not have that opinion. No, I can promise you, for any believer, there's been believers down through history that's had a lot harder time than we've had, a lot more problems than what we've had. There's been believers that have went through fiery furnaces and lion's den. They've been burnt at the stake and put on crosses. We're not facing anything like that. But yet, through all that, they could have victory knowing that their Redeemer lived. Knowing that whether he saved them through those torments or not, that he was able to save them. And knowing that even if they did die, that they had a better reward waiting for them after death. Oh, I want to have the victory this morning. When Moses crossed the Red Sea, says, by the power of God, and took the children of Israel on the other side, Miriam picked up a tambourine, all the daughters of Israel, up and down the bank they went, beating the tambourine and dancing in the spirit. If that isn't an old-fashioned Pentecostal meeting, I never seen one in my life. The trouble was with me, I didn't have enough victory. The trouble was he didn't have enough victory. This little sister out here, he tells the story. There he was at the tabernacle, and this Pentecostal woman preacher comes in and begins to play the piano. One of the little sisters from her congregation begins to doubt and dance in the spirit. And he said, there I was sitting in the seat of the scornful. And he began to doubt, and he began to wonder, what about that? And then he began to remember the scriptures of how David would dance when the ark came into the city, and how that Miriam would dance once they looked back and all their taskmasters was drowned in the sea.
And he said, we'll look at it in a quote in a minute. He said, I began to pat my foot. He said, well, I thought maybe that's my Methodist foot. But he said the trouble with it was he didn't have enough victory. Now, she had the victory. She was out there dancing about something. But he didn't have enough victory. So he was sitting there thinking, well, she must be some holy roller or something, I guess. I wonder if that's how we sit sometimes when God's doing something for somebody else. Now, we don't have to do a carnal impersonation of anything anybody else is doing. But if God is blessing somebody, I want to say praise the Lord for what he's doing for them. Amen. I may not be feeling what they're feeling. I may not be feeling led to do what they're doing. But praise the Lord for blessing them. Lord, bless me. If you bless me that way, that's great. If you bless me in another way, that's okay. But the problem many times, I think when we come to church, the reason we don't have better services than we do sometimes, it's not because the musicians didn't play with enough anointing, or it's not because we didn't pick the right tape, or because we didn't preach the right sermon. I think the reason that we don't have better services and better living conditions and better testimonies is we don't have enough victory in our life. Because we allow the devil to come and rob us of our victory. We allow him to creep in with sin, or we allow him to creep in with doubt or nervousness or anxiety, and we begin to think, oh my, what about this? And oh my, what about this? And oh Lord, you know what I did last week. And oh Lord, you remember what I did 20 years ago. And we begin to focus all on all that, and we begin to lose the victory that God is trying to give us. You see, we're fighting a defeated foe. So we have the victory if we could just recognize it. If you read the back of this book, I know some of you like to go ahead and skim to the back of a book and read it and see if you're going to like the way it ends or not. I can't do that myself because then I know through the whole story what's going to happen. I can't do that. But I have read the back of this book, and spoiler alert, we win. Amen. We win. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. You say, well, what about my family situation? What about my backslidden loved ones? Hey, we're victorious. We're overcomers. What about my health? What about what the doctor said? What about my financial? We're more than conquerors. What about what this brother said? What, this brother over here, he said something that confused me doctrinally, and I don't know what to think. Hey, I'm victorious this morning. I'm not victorious because I've won the battle myself. I'm victorious because Jesus Christ went ahead and paid the price for me, and he's already defeated every devil. He's already won every battle for me. All I have to do, Brother Joel, is just walk in step with him. And then we'll be walking in victory. Amen. Amen. The trouble was that he said, with me, I didn't have enough victory. I wonder if we could recognize this morning that most of the times in our life, when we get to a spot where we feel like we're in a rut and we're down in the ditch, and we just feel like we can't snap out of our spiritual slump, and we're down. You know, Brother Lauren used to sing that song, down in the dumps I'll never go. That's where the devil keeps me low. But yet we find ourselves so many times it seems slipping down in the dumps, and poor pitiful me, and I've had a bad week, and this person said that about me, and all my... And we begin to look at the wrong things and think on the wrong things and focus our time and our mental abilities on the wrong things. And before you know it, all of our victory is just sapped right out of us. And we go around, oh my, Brother Nathan, it's just been, you don't know what my week has been like. Well, the trouble usually, if we recognize, we look in the mirror and recognize the trouble is with me, I don't have enough victory. Amen. I think you could look this morning and say that to you, about yourself. If there's a problem in my family, if there's a problem in my church, if there's a problem that I'm facing at my job or at my school, I'm not saying there's not other people that's causing problems and getting you in a condition, but if it's got you so down and depressed and discouraged, you don't have to allow anybody to do that. You have a choice. You can go through life happy, or you can go through life sad. You can go through life victorious, or you can go through life defeated and down all the time. But the trouble, if you don't have victory this morning, don't blame your daddy. Don't blame the prophet. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame the song leader. Don't blame your mommy or your school teacher or your boss at work or somebody that did something terrible in the message. The trouble, if you don't have victory this morning, the trouble is with you. It's not with Jesus, it's not with the message, it's not with the Bible, it's not with your family. There may be troubles in your family, there may be troubles at your job, there may be troubles at your school, but none of that can rob your victory from you unless you allow it to rob your victory. Unless you say, okay, devil, here's the keys to my victory. But many times we allow the devil to creep in with old besetting sins and things, and what does it do? We sit there with the remote control and let him sap our victory, or sit there with the computer mouse and let him sap our victory, or we sit there and begin to talk about negative things and let him sap our victory, or we begin to look at all the things in our life that's wrong. Oh my, I want to say this morning, I have so much to thank Jesus Christ for. It outweighs the negative 10 million trillion to one. I don't even know if that's the right number, but hey, we found out Wednesday night I can't even multiply four times four and get it right on the fly. So, you know, that's not my mom's fault, by the way. She was my school teacher, but she taught me better than that, Sister Julie. Sister Julie said, just keep drilling that. Four times four is 16. I'll get it. Just bear with me. At that word, 1954, I thought, say, I got to feeling pretty good. Got to patting my foot with that girl. You know, I thought, well, maybe that's just my Methodist foot anyhow. So I started patting a little bit, you know. So, you know, it wasn't very long till I was out there with that girl dancing. I got the victory. Amen. What did he do to get the victory? He didn't go read a 5,000-page manual. He didn't go straighten somebody out because of something they did to him. He recognized there was something in him that was wrong, and he began to do something about it. He began to think on the scriptures. What did the scripture say about this? And before you know it, he was joining right into the service. He said, I got the victory. He said, well, that's what it takes, isn't it? The victory. Just get away from self and just let the Holy Spirit have the right of way. Hey man, I know it's not Wednesday night, but we've got these little yield signs, you know, and we've been preaching on this yield series. And to yield, one of the things it means is to give the right away. That if you're down on the road and you see a yield sign, that doesn't mean hurry up and go before the next guy. It means to give the other person the right of way. So I want to give the Holy Spirit the right away in our services, in our church decisions, in our family decisions, in our finances, and whatever it be, where to send our children to school or whatever it would be. I don't want somebody to come and dictate to me and say, Brother Nathan, you need to do this with the church, and you need to do this with your family, and you need to send your kids to this school. No, I'll just yield to the Holy Spirit and let him have the right of way. Amen. What he leads me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Victory, this word, dictionary.com, it means a success or triumph over an enemy in battle or war. A victory, a success, a triumph over an enemy in battle or war. David could have the victory when he saw his giant was laying there defeated. He could walk through Jerusalem carrying that giant's head around. As I've said before, many times the problem is we don't want to cut the head off of our giant. We want to pet it and baby it. And oh, Lord, you know, I didn't really mean that. And oh, we don't really want to die out to that because we enjoy whatever that little besetting sin is too much. But I want to say this morning, it's time we take the head off of our giants and get some victory in our life. Stop letting the devil take victory from your home and from your spiritual life, from your walk with God. Stop letting him take your victory as soon as you step inside of your work doors and you feel so defeated and depleted and discouraged. Stop letting him take your victory once you get to school that, oh, you can be a Christian at church on Sunday and on Wednesday or whenever you go to church and you can be such, oh, my pious and happy and sit in that presence of God and be a Christian. But then as soon as you walk in those school doors, oh, I can't live like that here. I've got to have another identity. It's school or at work, or I want to be popular, and I don't want to be made fun of, and I don't want to have to explain what I believe. Oh, it's time you get the victory. Amen. It's time we get the victory. Possessing all things, 1963. Oh, you say, I can't see these things. I don't believe in shouting. I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I don't believe in divine healing. It shows you've never got the victory. That's right, but one time you get the victory, then you've got it. Then you have it. Yes, sir. Then you can shout. The children of Israel, when they came across the Red Sea there and God had divided it, and here they had been living for hundreds of years under taskmasters, and they had been living. They couldn't get up and decide what they wanted to go do that day. They couldn't say, you know what, I think I'll take a few vacation days today, or I'll take a personal day, or I'll take a sick day. They were living under bondage. They had to get up and get out of bed and go to work or do whatever they was going to do, making bricks and mortar and all this stuff, and they had taskmasters that was beating them with whips if they didn't do it as fast or as good as they thought it should be. And they had lived under that bondage from generation to generation. But now they could look back in the Red Sea and see chariot wheels floating up and down, and see dead horsemen and dead horses and chariots floating down to the bottom of the sea. And they could look back and realize the old taskmaster is dead behind me. That guy that used to beat me and used to curse me, and that guy that used to make me go where I didn't want to go and do things I didn't want to do, I just saw some bubbles come up where his head was a few minutes ago, and he's dead behind me, defeated. Oh, if you ain't got that kind of Christian walk this morning, I hope we can see some taskmasters die in the Red Sea behind us this morning. No wonder they had the victory, Brother Layton. No wonder they was excited. They could look back and see, hey, that old thing I used to serve is dead behind me. Some of you, you say, oh my, I don't serve nobody. I'm my own man. I'm my own master. I make my own decisions. Oh no, you're fooled is what you are. Because we will serve somebody. You'll serve God or you'll serve the devil, but we're going to serve somebody. So some of you, you get up and I hope not any of you here, but you used to. Some of you would get up and you didn't get to pick what you wanted to do. That nicotine habit or that alcohol habit or that drug addict or that lust habit or whatever it was had you so bound that you get up in the morning, that'd be the first thing on your mind. That'd be the first thing you do. And you'd be going quickly for a cigarette or a bottle or whatever it'd be. And you were so bound to that thing that it controlled your life. It controlled where you went and what you did and how you spent your money. But now you can look back and see it's dead and gone. Amen. It ought to give us victory this morning to look back down the road and see that dusty road that Jesus Christ brought us down and recognize how many taskmasters is laying behind us. You say, well, I've still got a few in my way, Brother Nathan. Well, hey, look back down the road and see the ones that are behind you, and it ought to give you courage that, hey, if God brought me through those, He can bring me through this trial. He can bring me through this financial difficulty. He can bring me through this marriage situation. He can save my children the same way that He saved me. He can bring me through this emotional distress. He can bring me through the problems in my life. He can bring me through the confusion around the message and around Christianity. Oh, if He's brought you a long way, He can take you the rest of the way. Amen. We get our eyes so many times on the problem and on the circle. I'm feeling good this morning, Brother Jeannie. Sister Jeannie, hey, Brother Furman, don't feel bad. We're even. I'm feeling good, Sister Jeannie. Feels like Wednesday night on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if it's just me. I don't know. I've struggled with it for years, and sometimes I'll break through it and sometimes I won't, but I'm breaking through it this morning. I don't know if it's my own mental idea or if it's just because it's more of a mixed multitude, but it's so hard to break through to where we're at right now on a Sunday morning. It seems like Wednesday night it's so easy. That's why I love preaching on Wednesday nights better than any other service, but hey, we'll just pretend it's Wednesday night, all right? Psalm chapter 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now the psalmist is writing here, and he's talking about how when they went into captivity down in Babylon, here they had been free. They'd come out of the taskmasters from Egypt, and they lived for generation after generation. They had wanted a king aside from God, and they had ignored the prophet's warning, and he'd raised them up a king anyhow. And so then they served king after king, and they'd have a wicked king and a good king and a wicked king and a good king and back and forth until one day God got tired of fooling with their little besetting sins and their idol worship and all that, and He let them go into captivity down into Babylon. Now this first generation of Babylonian captives, they could remember, they weren't born into captivity, Brother Furman, but they could remember what it was like to be back there in Zion. They could remember what it was like to see Solomon's temple and to see the Ark of the Covenant, and they could remember what it was like to sing the songs of Zion. But now they've backslid and gone down into captivity, and they would look back and remember, oh, I remember when we used to go into the sanctuary, and I remember when we used to fellowship with the congregation, and I remember when God began to move and how the high priest would make the sacrifice and how we would sing the songs of Zion. But now they're in bondage and captivity again, and they hung their old harps on the willow trees, and their captors would tell them, sing us one of them songs you used to sing back there in Zion. They said, how can we sing the songs of Zion when we're in captivity? And I can tell sometimes on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights that you're sitting there and we're singing Victory in Jesus or the old rugged cross or oh my, everybody will be happy over there. And some of you look like you couldn't get happy over here if you wanted to. You don't feel like singing the songs of Zion. Why? Because something's robbed your victory. I don't want to live off of my feelings. Some people live off of their feelings. And when they're feeling good, when they got health in their body and they can breathe through their nostrils and they don't have any aches or pains and it's Friday and the paycheck just came in, they got money in the bank and nobody's sick in the family and they've had a couple good prayer times and they've been to church a couple times that month and they're feeling pretty good about themselves. Oh, my, they're ready to do anything for God. But then a little trouble comes and, oh, Brother Nathan, you just don't know how hard it is to serve God. Oh, no, actually I don't. It's not hard to serve him. Amen. It's a lot easier serving him than serving the devil. Amen. And so you come into church and you drag yourself in. I don't feel like lifting up my hands. Hey, there's sometimes me and Brother Furman don't really feel like getting up here and doing what we do either. But you know what? God has commissioned us to be priests and kings. Amen. That's what he called us to do, not just us. Brother Bram said that's what he called the bride to do. He said, you're prophets, priests, and kings. And he said, you go forth with a sacrifice of praise, of worship to God with your lips. And we don't just come to church. If Brother Furman just got up here and led songs every time that he felt like it, we'd be calling on Brother Hoover and Brother Ben and Brother whoever that could sing a whole lot more, I'm sure, because I'm sure there's a lot of times coming from work or coming from dealing with family things or whatever it is that he's dealing with that day. I'm sure he doesn't feel like getting up in here and singing, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And putting on a smile and saying, it's good to be in church, ain't it? And some of you look at him like, oh, I just can't believe this guy. The audacity. Doesn't he know what I've been through this week? Oh, he's probably been through just as much or more. But God called him to a position. And you don't have to have a title at church for God to call you to a position. You don't have to have song leader or deacon or trustee on your desk for God to call you and place you in a position when he calls you. Brother Bam said there was that old slave back in the slave days during back before the Civil War. He said they'd brought him over and they'd kidnapped him out of his country and they'd brought him over. And here he is on a plantation. All the rest of the slaves, they was walking with their head down. Why? Because they was in bondage. They were beaten and they were mistreated and they were used. If they didn't want to go to work that day, didn't matter. Their taskmaster told them, you're going to work anyhow. If they didn't feel like picking cotton or loading bales of hay around or whatever they was doing, it didn't matter. The taskmaster said, you got to do it anyhow. And so they were downtrodden and all their songs were sad and gloomy. But Brother Bam said they went to have an auction one time and sell some of these slaves, and a man went out there to purchase some. He looked, he said, I want that slave right there. The man said, that one is not for sale. He said, well, there's something different about him. He said, he don't stoop down like the rest of them. He don't hang his head down low, but he's got his shoulders up and his head back, and he's always got a smile on his face, and he's always ready to do something. Do you treat him better than the rest of the slaves? No. Does he live in the house? No, he lives in the slave galley. You feed him better? No, he eats the same slop the rest of them do. Well, what is so different about him? Maybe you got people on your work that wanted the same thing. Did you give Brother so-and-so a raise? Because he's a lot happier than I am. You've been taking him out to lunch and leaving me sit, or you've been giving him bonuses at the end of the year that you're not giving me. There's something about him that's different. Brother Branham said, and the man told him, said, oh, I wanted the same thing for many years. Said, so I did a little research and I found out that way over in his homeland, he is the child of a king. And so even though he's far away from his homeland, he still presents himself as a child of the king. And he acts like a child of the king. And he walks like a child of the king. Oh, I wish we could recognize down in here in Laodicea this morning, you are sons and daughters of the King. And maybe you don't feel good. And maybe your circumstance isn't the best, but you can still put your shoulders back and walk like a Christian and talk like a Christian and say, hey, whether I feel good or whether I don't feel good, he is good. Amen. Whether it seems like everything's going for my good or not right now, I know that it is because he said so. Whether I feel loved right now or not, I know I am loved because he said so. Whether I can feel his presence walking right beside me every moment of the day or not, I know that he is because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Whether I can see the angels lining the walls this morning or not, I know they are because he said the angels of God encamp themselves around those that fear him. I don't have to see him, Brother Hoover. He promised me that they'd be here. Hallelujah. Witnesses 1953 said, many of us remember the famous old story of how they hung their harps on the weeping willow tree and they could not sing the songs of Zion. All their victory was lost. Not because that God wanted to take it away from them, but because their sin separated them from God. That's the reason tonight that many of the Christians hasn't got the victory. It's because their sins has separated them from the blessing. Cut off out in a desert place alone, and our hearts are hanging on the weeping willow tree because we can't enjoy the songs of the church. I remember long ago when we used to come in here, they'd play Down at the Cross on a piano when the bell was tolled. And come in, there'd hardly be a dry eye in the church. Everybody weeping slowly and mellow. I just like the old-fashioned way, mellow, sweet power of the Holy Spirit broke up. Before we could ever make any headway, we got to get broke up first. You know, like the potter, the prophet was going down to the potter's house to be broke up, to be made over again. And you know, if there's no breaking up, there's no making over again. You have to be broke up first. He goes on in that quote and he begins to talk to Brother Wright about planting some corn and planting different things out in the field. And if you just go out and you're going to plant a garden or whatever it be, and you just go out there and you just throw you some seed out, you ain't going to have very much. But what do? You got to break up the ground a little bit first. You got to break up the fallow ground, and maybe it's all hard and dried and broken up, but you begin to get you a hoe or you begin to get you a tiller and you begin to break up that old ground and all those old dry, dead spots of, well, I was taught this back at this other church, and Brother so-and-so teaches it this way, and my family did this, and my family said this, and this one hurt me over there, and I'm bitter against this one, and I'm bitter against that one, and so-and-so didn't treat me right, and oh, I was neglected in my childhood, and somebody unfriended me on Facebook, and you drag all that into church, and we got to start chopping away at it every service, trying to break up some of that so that some seed can come in and there can be life. And we begin to water that with the watering of the word. And that old dry, cracked ground says, hey, I don't want to soak up any of that. I've heard all that stuff before. I've seen preachers get emotional before. I've heard preachers preach loud before. I've heard people sing and clap their hands before. This ain't going to do nothing for me. I'm going to go out of here the same way that I went in. Well, you keep that old dry, fallow ground, you probably will, but let's break up some ground this morning. Oh, sometimes God has to bring us through some things to break us up a little bit, to recognize, hey, there's something bigger in this world than me and you, and he's got it all in control. He's working on us. Maybe he had to work on you a long time to get you here this morning, but you're here. Amen. God has to do things sometimes to shake us up and make us remember, hey, in the whole scheme of things, here we are, just a little bitty fleeting moment of life in the whole scheme of eternity. Our life, just like a blip on the radar, comes on and goes off. But yet God had seen down through time and saw what that blip on the radar would be. And he cared enough about you to have you in his mind and have you in his thinking and have a predestinated plan for you. And then we begin to worry and think, oh, God, do you really hear me when I pray? Do you really care about me? Lord, I haven't had the blessings that I'd like in the last few weeks or months or years, and I thought it'd be this way and I thought it'd be that way. Oh, he's got it under control this morning. Amen. Brother Hoover was preaching a while back. I think it was in a sermon he was preaching. If not, he shared it with us here sometime. Excuse me. And he began to tell us a story. I know he's told it several times on the tours, when we've taken people on tours of Jeffersonville, that one of his sales managers, when he was selling cars, taught them that when you go and you begin to say something, whatever it is, and you can have all these prerequisites to it and all these other things that you said, but when you stop and you interject the conjunction but, it just eliminates everything that you said before. Some of you brothers can try this when you go home. Your wife can ask you, do I look good in this skirt? And you can say, oh my, it looks so nice, but... And then whatever you say after that is just going to erase every nice thing that you said before then. There's a couple scriptures that I want us to keep in mind. And if you don't take anything away from the service, at least focus on these next two couple of scriptures. If you can't stay awake for the rest of the service, stay awake for these next 5 minutes. And let me just drill this into you real good so that when the devil tries to beat you up, you can give him a butt. A little conjunction there to back up whatever it is. Now, whenever there's something going wrong in your life, and you can look and you can begin to list all these circumstances, well, I'm not making as much money as I want to, and somebody treated me wrong, and somebody at my old church did this and said this, and it hurt me, and I have a hard time having confidence in anybody else, and this went on in my life, and my children's backslid, and you begin to list out all those things, and all those grievances, and all the problems in your life, and everything that you're facing, and all the trials, and all the tribulations, and all the everything that you've gone, every ache and pain and gray hair and wrinkle, and you list all that out 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, amen, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it just erases all that that you listed out behind. Oh, the mortgage bill's coming up, and I don't know where I'm going to get the money. I got to have this doctor bill paid, and my family situation, and this one's doing this, and this one's doing that. And my children, they're trying to be rebellious, and this one did this, and this person in my family's disfellowshipped me because of what I believe, and this person over here has did this, and you list it all out, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, the man writing this, his life was not a flowery bed of ease. This man had been beaten. He had been stoned. He had been put in prison. He had been whipped. He had been left out at sea, floating in the water in the deep for many days in shipwrecks and different things. He had been run out of cities. He had been talked bad about. He had been persecuted in every city that he went in. He had had some of his closest friends and companions and minister buddies walk away and leave him because they didn't understand his ministry. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever your faith, whatever the devil lies to you about and says, oh, you'll never make it. Oh, if you was really a believer, you would do this. And if you was really a believer, you wouldn't do that. And if you really this and really that, he begins to bombard you until you feel like you're beat down to about an inch high. Just remind him, but oh, there may have been things back in my past, and there may have been things, and maybe I didn't make the best decision over here, and maybe I could have responded better to this action. My reaction could have been better, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. St. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus tells them, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. He's not putting on a flowery, he's not whitewashing it for us and saying it's just going to be a Joel Osteen sermon. Everything's going to be great and God's going to bless you with a Lamborghini and he's going to bless you with a great big house and God just wants to do for you and there's not going to be any trials or tribulation. He says, in the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation in the world, but don't worry. Don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. Don't have anxiety. Don't have fear. Be of a good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if you got tribulation in the world, remember, he already overcame the world. You got trials in the world, remember, he already overcame the world. This word overcome is a word that we're familiar with around the message. It's Nico. Which is where the word Nicolaitan comes from, which means to conquer the laity. This word, I have overcome the world. Niko, the Greek word, means to overcome, to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. Amen. Amen. Yeah, how are you going to get this? Getting Jesus Christ. Amen. He's already got it for you. What have I got to do? Where do I sign up? You don't have to sign up. You have to be born. Amen. You don't have to go to a certain church. You don't have to live in a certain city. You don't have to go be at a certain address at a certain time or do all these things. You don't have to believe a certain specific doctrine, a certain way. Some brother teaches it. You don't have to come to church through the open door. You have to be born into this family. Amen. We're born into it by the new birth. Jesus Christ come to give us. He said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. And so he came and gave his life so that he could come and live in us. And how are you going to overcome? How are you going to conquer? How are you going to prevail? How are you going to get the victory? Get in him, and he's already got all of that. Amen. Romans 12, verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is one we probably need to just keep with us everywhere we go. Write it in the palm of our hand or something. Where when you go out and the devil tries to tempt you, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. When somebody corners you in Home Depot or Walmart or whatever, and they want to argue and debate doctrine and tell you how much of a serpent seed and a foolish virgin and an idiot you are for what you believe or where you go to church, just look down. Be of a good cheer. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know the best way to stop an argument? Stop arguing. Because the only people that can argue with themselves are schizophrenic. I've seen people, I saw a man out at the post office, claimed to be a message believer, but there was something bad wrong with him. But I saw him, he wasn't talking to himself, Brother Joseph. He was having an argument with himself. he was walking back and forth. Now I'm guilty of talking to myself. I've done that before. I've talked to myself, and I'll catch my wife sometimes. I'll say, who are you telling that to? Oh, I'm just talking to myself. That's not too scary. But when you begin to argue with yourself, that becomes a scary thing. And because who's going to win that battle when you're arguing with yourself? You know, you're never going to end that because you can't just send the other person home. But unless there's something bad mentally wrong, it takes two people to argue. It takes two people to fight. So if you want to win a fight, just walk away. Say, I'm not fighting anymore. I'm done. I'm not going to talk nasty to you. I'm not going to get in a quote war with you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home and pray for you, and I hope you'll do the same thing for me and not just pray me in the back and hope that whatever you think is best for me is what my outcome is, but I hope you'll pray God's will for me. I'm going to overcome evil with good. One thing, I know I've complimented him on it before, but I'll say it again. One thing that always stood out to me and Dad about Brother Collins was you could go say something about anybody. It didn't matter who it was. You could bring up anybody, and he'd just stop and say, oh, isn't he a wonderful brother? Isn't he just a precious brother? Brother Terry, that kind of takes out the wind out of your sails. If you had all kinds of stuff that you was going to share and how much you disagreed with him, oh, isn't he a precious brother? Just sucks the winds right out of your sails, doesn't it? If we could use that tactic in a lot of arguments and things, somebody want to argue with you about the Lord or argue with you about some quote or argue with you about this or argue with you about that, say, God bless you. Brother, I love you. And you know what? I'm praying for you. And we may not agree, but you know, there's something about it that I want to be a good enough Christian that I can still put my arm around you and call you my brother. And if I'm wrong, I hope you'll pray for me. And if you're wrong, I'm going to keep praying for you anyhow. Overcome evil with good. Romans 8, verse 27, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This word is, and I don't know if I'll pronounce it right or not, but hupernikko. Hupernikko, to be more than a conqueror, to gain a surpassing victory. Oh my, I hope we can get this morning. A surpassing victory. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have. Not will out in the future, not if you live a good, squeaky, clean life, not if you do all this 10-step program of what somebody thinks you should do. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows fall? Hey, man, I've got a great big God watching over me. And he's already overcome these things. He's already overcome the world. He's already defeated the devil. And so sometimes we're just fighting at the air. We get so worked up and so upset about our circumstances and what's facing us. If we could just step back and realize it's already been defeated. It's already taken care of. Jesus Christ already paid the price at Calvary. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. You want to be an overcomer? You got to believe that you're an overcomer. You got to believe the word of God. You got to believe that these things are so. It can't just be something mommy and daddy taught you, you know, once upon a time as a bedtime story. It has to become a reality in you to where you can have faith in his word. When you begin to reason and question, well, I don't know if this is true or that's true. I can't explain the story of Jonah. I don't know if that was just this, that, or the other. Well, your faith just gets sapped right out of the way. But when you can have that overcoming power is when your faith begins to be bigger than your doubt. And your faith begins to be bigger than your reason. And you begin to, the devil begins to sneak in like he did to Eve and say, well, what about this and what about that? But Brother Branham said, faith has big muscles and a hairy chest. And it stands up and says, no, I'm not going to listen to that garbage. I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to reason away the word of God. I'm not going to question away. I've seen what God has done in my life and where he's brought me from. I've seen the miracles of God. I've seen the working of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen what the devil tries to do to his servants out here. Take their life with suicide or take their life with addictions and liver failure and lung cancer and all this stuff. I'm not going to serve him anymore. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. I know we've dealt with it before. I'm not going to stay on it this morning, but I'm not going to try to do away with the blood of Jesus Christ when that's what we overcome by. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, if you don't have a testimony, I hope that you get one this morning. I hope that you walk out of here and God does something for you to where you can go and tell somebody, hey, this is how I used to be. I struggled with fear and I struggled with bitterness and I struggled with addictions and I struggled with all these things. But God sent one Sunday morning in a little church on Silver Street in New Albany. God came and did something for me and all that fear began to move back and all that temptation began to move back. All the addiction and all the discouragement and all the depression and all the bitterness, it began to move back away from me. And there's something about it. God changed me. God did something for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. He can give you a testimony this morning. Amen. The problem is most of us don't want a testimony because we don't like that those first few words, the first few letters that go along with it. You got to have a test before you can have a testimony. Revelations chapter 21 verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his son. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Why wouldn't we want to be a part of this? Amen. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. All things. The scripture said there when Abraham died that he left Isaac, he made Isaac an inheritance of all things. Now he gave some gifts to his other sons, but he made Isaac the inheritor of all that he had, everything that he owned, everything that he did. And Brother Branham said that when God came in flesh 2,000 years ago, he said all that God was, he poured into Christ. And he said, then all that Christ was, he poured into the church. Oh, my, you were an inheritor of all things. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Resurrection of Jesus, 1956, he says, power is given. The church has it now, but it's your faith that controls that power. You see, we're here on a law of faith. Brother Bam said he would see many times through the prayer lines and things, he'd see good saintly Christian people come through and maybe not get healed, and then he'd see a prostitute come through and get healed. He said, why? Because it's on a basis of your faith. It's on a basis. He never said, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? Now, we don't throw feelings out the window. I thank God that we can feel his presence. I thank God that we can feel good. I thank God that we can feel his anointing. I thank God for all those things. But we don't base our Christian experience on feelings, because then you'll be a super duper Christian one day and the worst sinner in the city the next day because you're going off of your feelings. So your feelings is not a chart for whether you're a Christian or not. But yet God can do something for you. Why? It's on the basis of your faith. Now, Brother Bram said you don't even have to be a Christian to be healed, but you have to be a Christian to stay healed. Jesus said, go your way and sin no more, or disbelieve no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So when you want to accept something, you accept it by faith. And then if it's a sickness in your body, if it's a family problem, if it's a financial problem, whatever, if your faith can reach hold and grab of the promises of God and say, hey, I'm going to hold on to this, then you'll get whatever you're asking for. But just as sure as faith can produce that word into an actual substance in your life, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Brother Bram said, doubt will resurrect those things just the way that faith killed them. So many times we get in church and we get in an atmosphere and everybody's feeling good and everybody's shouting and everybody's praising the Lord and we're singing the songs of Zion. Everything's great. And you come up here and you ask God for something. And you walk out of here and you think, bless God, I got what I need. And then you walk out and somebody says, you're just an old holy roller. You didn't really get nothing, or you don't really believe that, do you? And you begin to question that and you begin to read, well, did I really have an experience? Did God really heal me? Did he do that? No, lay aside all reasoning. Lay aside all doubt. Lay aside all questioning. And walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. My brother says that I drive by faith, not by sight. When we walk by faith, we look at the unseen. Abraham, if he had looked at the seen, he would have never had the child, because he would have been constantly looking at the circumstances. Well, God said this, but you know, my body just hasn't changed, and Sarah's hasn't changed, and we're getting older and older and weaker and tireder, and we wasn't able to have kids way back when we was young folks, so how can we ever do that? If he would have kept looking at the seen, he couldn't have walked into the promise. But he didn't look at the seen, he looked at the unseen.
Amen.
He looked at the intangible. It wasn't something that he could go and put his foot on or put his hand on and say, here it is. But he could look into the word of God and say, God promised it. God made the promise. He who made the promise is able to perform the promise. And he kept walking by faith, and he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. If we could do that this morning, whatever it is that you have need of this morning, I guarantee you there's a scripture in here somewhere that applies to it.
Amen.
And if you can just hold on to that scripture and say, Lord, this is your word. This isn't the thoughts of a man. This isn't somebody's opinion. This is the infallible word of God. And I'm going to hold on to this. And I'm going to keep walking into that promise. Even if it doesn't look like it's possible. Even if it doesn't look like it's probable. I'm going to keep walking into that promise because it's your word and I'm resting on it. Power is given, he says. The church has it now. But it's your faith that controls that power. There's enough Holy Ghost believing people in here right now to turn the world upside down. That's right. But you're afraid to turn loose. That's all. Oh my. I wonder how long we've been afraid to turn loose. Afraid, what's somebody going to say? What's somebody going to say if I do this? Or the Lord's leading me to do this. Or the Lord's leading me to say this. Or the Lord's leading me to go here. But what would my family say? Or what would brother so-and-so say? Or would this person unfriend me? Or would this person unfellowship me? Or shun me? Or what would they think at my job if I went and told them I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What would they think if I told them I got baptized? What would they think if I told them I don't like their filthy mouths? And I wish they'd keep some of that over in the other side of the building for away from me, because it grieves me to hear them talk about my Lord and take his name and pain like that. Oh, they might fire me. They might do this. They might actually have some respect for you for standing for something in this age of compromise. Oh, but you're afraid to turn loose to it. That's all. We come in church, and as I was talking Wednesday night, everybody's afraid to be the first one in the prayer line. Everybody's afraid to be the first one to come up to the altar. Everybody's afraid to be the first one to do this and the first one to do that. Oh, just turn loose. Who cares what anybody thinks about you? Care about what he thinks about you. If he's leading you to do something, whatever it is, say, Lord, I submit myself to you. Lord, I want to walk in your steps. I want to follow your leading. I don't care what comes, what goes, what anybody says. They can make fun of me. They can walk away from me. They can talk bad about me. Lord, I'm not depending on their thoughts of me. I'm depending on your thoughts of me. I don't even want to depend on my thoughts of me, because sometimes my thoughts of me, Brother Hoover, is pretty bad. Sometimes I think, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you even trying to do? You ain't accomplishing nothing. You ain't doing nothing. And then the Lord will remind me of a testimony or something. I think, Lord, you know what? The devil is right. I'm not doing anything, but you're sure doing something. Amen. Amen. He's sure doing something. He's brought us a mighty long way. He said, but you're afraid to turn loose to it. That's all. Oh, I hope you won't be afraid to turn loose this morning to whatever God is leading you to do. Say, but my school friends won't understand, Brother Nathan. Well, there may be a predestinated seed right there at your school that's looking for somebody that'll be real and genuine in front of them. There might be a predestinated seed at your work or on your jobs that you go to. Some of you brothers that are in and out of places working, doing service work and things. There may be somebody, a predestinated seed that God is trying to lead you to. And if you'll just take a stand for some things and live a pure and holy life, you don't have to go out there and force things down people's throat and try to get them to see this and see that and you try to push 100 doctrines down their throat in 5 minutes. Just live a life in front of them. Amen. Just walk the walk and talk the talk. You don't have to be some super duper spiritual something. Trust me, you just live a life that's pure and holy, and you'll stand out like a sore thumb in this world. They'll notice. They'll notice. Just stand for the right things and talk about good things and be positive and talk about how much God has blessed you and how much God has done for you. You'll have an impact on somebody. Yes. Somebody that maybe is looking and searching and longing for somebody that'll take a stand for what's true, that'll live a life this pure and holy. There's a man, I don't know if he's still here this morning or not, but there's a man that came to service this morning because he saw somebody that was different. And he asked him, yeah, I see him still here. He asked a man, said, would you let me go to church with you this morning? I wish that, I don't know where we'd put them all, but I wish every one of us, every service, we'd have somebody that we'd have a testimony like that about. Yes. They saw something different in me, and they said, hey, where are you going to church this morning? I'd like to go to church with you. Amen. What is it? Living epistles. You don't have to beat somebody over the head with the Bible. You don't have to, you know, tell them they're idiots and they're wrong and all this. Just live a life and it'll have an impact on somebody. Amen. Amen. You thankful for victory this morning? Amen. That you can have the victory? Amen. Musicians, would you please come this morning and let's worship the Lord together. While they're coming, let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for how that you move in our lives and how that you encourage and strengthen us. Lord, this is why we believe in coming to church, because your word said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as
the manner of some is, but to, Lord, even do so more as the day approaches, Lord, that we see it's getting harder and harder and darker out there in Laodicea, the enemy fighting everywhere that he can and trying to upset, trying to attack. Lord, we need to come together and glean from one another and, Lord, encourage one another. The little licks of fire come together and worship together and get encouragement and strength from the Word and from fellowshipping around the Word and singing the songs of Zion. But Lord, may it not stop at these doors. May the congregation not just be when we come together a few times a week to worship the Lord. But Lord, may when we go out of these doors and we go to our jobs or we go back to our homes or our schools or we walk the streets of Jeffersonville, New Albany, and Louisville, and Sellersburg, or Clarksville, wherever it would be, Lord, Charlestown, the different places, that people could see there's somebody that's still living for Jesus Christ in this dark hour. There's somebody that'll still raise the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ and say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care what anybody says about me. I'm not living for them. I'm living for Jesus. I'm not living to have my name in lights or to be popular, but I'm taking my stand for Jesus, that I want to serve Him, and I want all these little besetting sins and things that drag me down and take away my victory, that get me discouraged, that get me to a place of living in fear or questioning my experience with the Lord. I want to lay all those down. I want to walk in victory. I want to live a life that's victorious. I want to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. I'm tired of living a halfway Christian life. I'm tired of living an in-and-out life of sometimes in church and sometimes not, and sometimes praying and reading my Bible and sometimes not. Lord, may You move on hearts this morning and encourage them that they don't have to live a halfway life, that they can be a real Christian, a real believer, that they can have real faith, that they can have real victory, lasting victory. Not a victory that just comes in the good times, but a victory that'll take them through fires and flames and lions' dens and persecutions and trials and tribulations and temptations and snares and dangers and toils. Lord, it's been Your grace that's brought us this far. Lord, we're dependent on You to take us the rest of the way. Lord, if there's some that hasn't come into that type of experience with You, Lord, may they receive You as their personal Savior this morning. If there's some that haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, may You fill them this morning. If they're sick in our midst, Lord, may You touch them and heal them this morning. Lord, if there's discouraged or, Lord, domestic problems or work problems or school problems, Lord, may You begin to move those mountains that are in the people's way. But Lord, may You help them to recognize that they don't have to wait for the mountain to move to have the victory. They can have the victory right now in any condition they're in any phase of their life, in any circumstance. They can live victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. May we live in victory, Lord. Whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, Lord, may we be in victory wherever we're at. In Jesus Christ's name, help us, Lord. Oh, let's sing it to Him this morning. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Yes, Lord. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing it to Him. Worship Him together. We've been made more than, yes, Lord. I'm an overcomer in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's sing this together.
Oh, I heard an old story, how my Savior came from glory. Oh, how he gave his life on Calvary just to save an old wretch like me. Oh, then I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Oh, then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, there's still victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Is to him we to He has built for me in glory, and I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. Sweet day, I'll sing up there my song of victory. In Jesus, he's my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved the air I knew him, and all my life is through him. Oh, he's plunged me to my beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, then I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he could make the lame to walk again, and he'd cause the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, Lord, come and heal my broken spirit. Oh, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me, make it personal, to me the victory. Oh, there's victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, to him. Oh, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, when I rose up this morning, I didn't have a doubt. Oh, I knew
got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please. Then I rose up shouting praise and victory. Oh, and victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. His victory today is mine. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, when you wake up in the morning, friend, don't have a doubt, 'cause I know that my Lord will bring you out. Lord, if you please, I rose up singing, shouting victory. You have joy this morning. Joy is mine, oh joy is mine. Joy today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Peace, oh peace is mine. Peace is mine. Peace today.
Feeling so much better when talking about this good old man. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old man. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it. We're talking about this good old man. The devil, he don't like it. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. I'm feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord.
Talking about the Lord.
switch hats there. If you saw that, the Lord's going to provide us a sound man at some point in time. But until then, yesterday morning, I woke up, rolled out of bed, and the first words that came to me were, singing to the Lord a new song. I have no idea, and I still don't know what that meant. So I searched it in the Bible. It's there four times. And I read all those chapters last night during devotion with the family. I have no idea what that meant. But anyway, Brother Nathan was preaching about, I've read the back of the book of We Win. So maybe the Lord wants me to sing a new song today. I don't know. But this is a good little chorus. Brother Danny Williams used to sing this years ago at camp meeting. And I don't know who sang it first, him or the Cathedrals. But I'm going to put the musicians on the spot here. E flat. And you help me sing this before we go. Because we should be able to sing this with a lot of victory. Amen.
I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness, no more living in sin. There's no need to worry if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win. Oh, I've read the back of the book and we win. Oh, no more living in darkness. No more living in sin. Oh, there's no need to worry if you're born again. Oh, I've read the back.
Does that make you happy this morning?
Oh, I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness. No more living in sin. Oh, there's no need to worry if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win.
Once more.
I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness. No more living in sin. Oh, there's no need to worry if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win.
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus before we go.
Walk with me, Lord. Oh, walk with me. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Oh, walk with me. While I'm on this pilgrim journey, oh, I need you.
Dismissed. Don't forget the practice for the 13, ages 13 and younger here. Let's sing it as we go.
Don't leave me alone, Lord. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone, Lord. Don't leave me alone. Oh, while I'm on this pilgrim journey.